This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back. Hour number 3 of the program here on Tuesday morning, and we are taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Don't forget, this hour is the first hour of the day in which you will get your Money Talks code. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll have your first code of the day coming up. And when you hear that code, you enter it on the Money Talks page at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And you will be entered to win $30,000. Now, yesterday we made it through the whole day without anybody sending the codes in to app chat. So perhaps everybody finally has, you know, the right place to be able to put in those codes. But if you're not exactly sure where it is, if you go to the app and you open up the app, right in the center, you should see a button that says Money Talks. If you don't see that button, just refresh, you know, go update your app in your app store or delete the app and re-download it. The button will show up there in the middle. If you go to the website and do it that way on a computer, then you'll see right at the top, Money Talks. You can click on that and go in there and enter it. And then each day has all of the, there's boxes for the different codes for every hour. So there's a box for today at 8 a.m., a box for 9 a.m., a box for 10 a.m., and those boxes are only turned on for the current day. So you know that if you go there and you put it in for 8 a.m., you've got the right spot. So hopefully that helps you in being able to enter in all of those codes. Any problems, any issues, just shoot me an email, tim at wbsm.com, and we'll try and work it through with all of you. I got a message yesterday from somebody who said that they hadn't heard any of the codes. So I checked to make sure that they were all playing correctly. They were all coming over the stream okay, and I didn't hear any problems. So I think maybe that person just missed them, but that's okay. You've got plenty of more chances to enter to win. As I said earlier, you don't have to get every code to win. So each code is another chance for you to win, but if you miss one, it doesn't eliminate you from the running to try to win the grand prize of $30,000. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit. So we were talking in the last hour about this West Bridgewater case where there were some students on a bus that were making phone calls on the bus to local businesses using an app to mimic gunfire and telling the people that answered the phone that they were in the middle of a school shooting and then allegedly threatening to shoot up a school. And so the police investigated, the police determined that, you know, there's no credible threat here. And we were talking about the punishment that happens for some of these, because now this is the third incident in the Bridgewater-Raynham area since the Appalachian school shooting on September 4th. So that's three incidents in 2 weeks in this town. Well, in these two towns. So what is going on there? What is happening? Why are these kids feeling emboldened to be able to pull these pranks? Is it something that is happening frequently and we just didn't catch, you know, we didn't get press releases about it and social media postings from police about it before? Or in the wake of that shooting, has there been some kind of conversation among these kids that make them think that it's okay to perpetrate these hoaxes? And part of it is, we've seen the response from police departments in these cases where they say, you know, charges are not being filed. The school will handle discipline for the student. So the student's going to get suspended. They're not going to face any criminal charges, which in a way you say, great. You know, I don't want a 12-year-old kid to have criminal charges against them for something stupid and dumb that they should have known better. But at the same time, if you're suspended, and let's face it, suspension from school these days is mostly just putting you in a room by yourself and giving you a bunch of work to keep you busy all day, which is still a better alternative than suspension back in the old days when they just sent you home and you got a day off of school. Oh, I got in trouble. Oh, well. Because I'm here to tell you, kids, you didn't hear this from your Uncle Tim, but I was suspended a few times in school, and you know how they tell you it goes on your permanent record? It didn't really hurt me that much. I mean, if you're suspended all the time, then it's a problem. But a couple of suspensions don't really do much to hurt you. So my point here isn't to say to kids, go out and do something, it's fine. There's no repercussions. My point is saying that's not really a punishment for something as severe as this. So I don't know what that middle ground is. I don't know if there should be criminal charges filed against the kid. Caller said that the parents should face some repercussions for this. I think that while you want to say, well, the parent's not the one doing it, it's the kid. And even if the parent raises the kid to know better, if the kid's in a group of other kids that do it and they're just dopily playing along, like what is the parent's responsibility in that? But maybe if the parents do face some repercussions, they'll make it a lot harder on the child at home, because that is a big part of it. School discipline can't just stay at school. You know, you can't get suspended, sent home, if you were sent home. I mean, they don't really do that anymore, but sent home and then just sit in front of the TV all day. That wasn't a punishment. That was a reward. That was a day off. So it's a hard thing to find the right balance of. And we got a caller who had suggested, you know, that the school and the state, rather, the state not allowing parents to physically punish their children is what leads to this. And I disagree. I never physically punished my son, and he never called in a threat to a school. He never really misbehaved at all. I've talked about this before, but my two cousins grew up to be very good kids. They were not physically punished. What would happen is if they did something wrong, their father would look at them and say, you know, I'm really disappointed in you. And that would break them. That hurt them more than any spanking ever could have, because they had that kind of a relationship with their parents, where any kind of violation of that relationship hurt them. MI8 New Bedford says, come on, Tim, geez Louise, the guy's talking about scolding and maybe giving the kid some chores that he doesn't want to do. That's also part of punishment. My mother used to not hit us. She would give us chores for days if you were punished for 3 days all weekend long. Believe me, until Sunday evening, you were on punishment. No give backs. I was scared to death of my mother for that reason, only not getting hit by that time. I was too old. It didn't hurt anymore. It was the chores. Yeah, but that's not what the caller was talking about. He was talking about actually physically punishing the children. I see nothing wrong with giving them chores. I mean, you know, don't make the kid drag a car transmission down the driveway. But chores is nothing. There's nothing wrong with doing that to a kid to punish them. And as a kid, that's the last thing I wanted to do was any chores. You're going to make me do stuff? Oh, fine. I won't ever do it again. I promise. No, there's nothing wrong with chores, but that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about, and again, he wasn't talking about beating the child, but he was talking about physical punishment. I don't agree with that. And I say that as a kid that received some physical punishment when I was a kid. And you know what that did to me? That made me physically abusive toward my siblings. Now, granted, a lot of that just comes with childhood anyway. And I'd like to think I outgrew that. But it's not that I outgrew it. I made a conscious decision to stop being that kind of a person. Because I said, someday when I have kids, I don't want my first instinct to be to hit somebody. And I've never done that. And I had to work hard to make sure my first instinct to hit an adult wasn't what came to mind first. And I was able to do that. I went through a lot of anger management. But I don't really think it's a badge of honor to say my kids are afraid of me. My kids are afraid that if they do something wrong, I'm going to hit them. I don't, that's not good parenting in my eyes. You might disagree. And the "it happened to me and I turned out okay" argument doesn't work. Because more often than not, people don't turn out okay from that. It's like saying, "I did heroin once. I wasn't addicted. I was fine." Everybody should try it at least one time. Just because it worked out for you doesn't mean it would work out for the next person. Now, I know why. You know, and again, my parents didn't beat us. But I received, you know, 1980s physical punishment on a few occasions. But the one time that I was actually afraid of my parents, there was a kid that was outside my window in our apartment in Plymouth in a not great neighborhood. He was outside our window and he mooned me while I was looking out the window. Probably like 14 years old. I was probably like 10, 9, 10, maybe even younger. And this kid mooned me because I was looking out the window, I guess. And so I turned around and did the same thing back. And so the kid then knocked on the door and told my mother, "Hey, your son just mooned me." For those who don't know what that is, that's, you know, pulling down your pants and showing your butt. And I tried to tell my mother, well, he did it first, but it didn't matter because that wasn't the right response to that. And my dad was at work and my mom said, "When your father comes home, I'm going to have to tell him what happened." And so I went up and I hid under my bed. Not because I was afraid my father was going to hit me, not because I was afraid my father, but I was just so embarrassed by what I had done. And my dad was always pretty rational about things. I was like, oh man, he's going to tell me like I'm a disappointment as a son. That's what I was more afraid of. And when he came home, he came upstairs, he found me under the bed and he goes, "So what happened?" I said, "Well, the kid mooned me, so I mooned him back." And my dad said, "Yeah, don't do that." And that was the end of it. But I was just so worried about having to just face him over what I had done, that that was enough. I don't think you need to physically accost your children to have them respect you and respect the guidance that you try to give them. And I don't know that it works as well as you think that it does. But you might disagree. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But the real bottom line here is they've got to do something about these kids, because it seems like it's a problem in this school system. Or in, it's actually a couple of school systems, but they're closely related. So there's got to be something done to make it more serious. And maybe there is. I mean, again, we're not privy to all the information of what's going on. But I know that in the past, you get these situations, and the line that you always see at the bottom of the police press release or whatever, or a social media post or whatever, is, you know, no charges are being pressed. The school will handle punishment. And schools can only do so much when it comes to punishment. That if you are calling in a bomb threat or a, you know, a hoax school shooting or whatever, and you're doing it because you're like, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. I don't want to have to take that test I'm not ready for. I don't want to have to go face that bully. Whatever it is that makes you compelled to do something like this. Well, saying now, well, tomorrow you are in suspension, doesn't really solve the problem. It actually gives the kid what they were looking for. And if they're doing it just because they think it's funny, I don't think that a suspension is enough of a punishment that makes you feel like, well, I guess it wasn't funny. You're just going to sit there for a day and think about how funny it was. Now, I got in school suspension a couple of times, mostly for fighting. Actually, always for fighting. And I didn't hate it, because I got a lot of work done, and then I got to go sit in the classroom, and I would do like a week's worth of work in a day, and then go back in the classroom for a week and not have to do anything. So it didn't really feel like a punishment to me. And honestly, I never started the fight, so I didn't feel like I deserved to be punished in the first place. So maybe it was just me internalizing it that way and saying, like, don't look at it as a punishment. You didn't do anything wrong. I got picked on a lot. I got bullied a lot. And I might have had a little bit of a smart mouth that led to that bully saying, all right, now I'm going to hit you. Sometimes I didn't even deserve it. There was one time I was just standing there talking to somebody, and someone came up behind me and shoulder checked me to the ground. Teacher saw it. I rolled down a hill, got back up, came up the hill. The teacher grabbed me by the arm and dragged us both to the principal's office. What did I do? I wasn't even paying attention. Anyway. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. You've got to get ready to type in some numbers. There's only three of them. So if you're driving, you can remember them pretty easily and then pull over and type them in when it's safe to do so. But right now, here is what you are all waiting for to start your day. And welcome back. I know I said I was going to play one-hit wonders in the presidents of the United States of America. We're not one-hit wonders. They still had Peaches and their cover of Video Killed the Radio Star and Kitty and all kinds of songs. So anyway, let's take a phone call here before we have to go into the news so that I don't have to make the caller wait. I'll make Phil wait instead. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, quick question, Sam. When are you doing your show again, the Spooky South Coast show?
So I was going to try to bring it back this month, and then my co-host, Stephanie Burke, went and had a baby. So now it might be, you know, probably after October.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
And, yeah, congratulations to Stephanie and Scott on the birth of their daughter. I got to go visit and see them the other day. everybody's doing well. But yes, that is, you know, I was trying to make my comeback from my health issues, and then she was pregnant, and I said, well, we'll hold off a little bit longer because I got stuff booked all through October anyway. So a couple of ghost events and some other things going on. So, all right, now it is time to go to the news and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The latest on the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Portugal in a wildfire crisis and a celebration for America's longest living president.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The man suspected in an attempted assassination of former President Trump did not fire any shots. Brian Shook reports.
Speaking from Palm Beach County, Florida, Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rose said suspect Ryan Routh was unable to get a single shot off, and he praised the quick actions of his team.
Yesterday was an off-the-record movement. Off the record. And the president wasn't even really supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan, and that security plan worked.
Rose said there has been a dynamic shift in Secret Service policy since Trump's first assassination attempt in Pennsylvania in July. I'm Brian Shook.
The sheriff of Martin County, Florida, says he's thankful the arrest of the would-be assassin happened without incident. Sheriff William Snyder said his deputies were deliberate in slowly surrounding the suspect's car on Sunday. In the sheriff's words, it wasn't a Dukes of Hazzard traffic stop. A swifty wave for Vice President Harris, not likely to happen. An ABC News Ipsos poll shows 81% of those surveyed said that Taylor Swift's endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket is having no influence on how they vote in the presidential election. 6% said Swift's endorsement makes them more likely to vote for Harris, while 13% said they're less likely to vote for Harris. A couple of days ago, Trump posted on Truth Social in all caps, quote, "I hate Taylor Swift." Portugal is facing a major wildfire crisis. The country's prime minister has described the situation as raging across the country. Thousands of firefighters are battling the blazes, which have forced many to evacuate their homes. At least two people have died and many others have been injured. The government has declared a state of emergency in several regions. Sean Diddy Combs was arrested in New York City Monday after being indicted by a grand jury. More from Mark Mayfield.
It is currently unknown what charges the music mogul is facing, but the arrest comes following multiple lawsuits filed against him that allege sexual assault, as well as an ongoing federal investigation. Combs was arrested at his hotel where he had been living for several weeks. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams confirmed the arrest in a statement Monday, saying that a sealed indictment filed by the Southern District of New York is expected to be unsealed Tuesday morning. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A three-judge federal appeals court panel will determine the fate of TikTok in the United States. A law was passed earlier this year that would ban TikTok in the U.S. if the social media app does not cut ties with China-based parent company ByteDance by January. Attorneys for TikTok and ByteDance were in court on Monday, claiming the law is unconstitutional and violates free speech rights. And a musical celebration is on tap tonight, a couple of weeks before former President Jimmy Carter reaches the century mark. Among the performers tonight at Atlanta's Fox Theater are the B-52s, B.B. Winans, Maren Morris, and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. The longest living president in U.S. history turns 100 on October 1st. He's been in hospice care since February of last year.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox are in Tampa Bay to play the Rays. They're looking to bounce back after losing to the Yankees. And the Patriots play the Jets in New York on Thursday night. We'll carry the game for you right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday. We're dealing with some patchy fog, mostly cloudy skies, temperatures around 60. It'll remain mostly cloudy as we head into the afternoon. Some hazy sky as well due to those smoke in the upper levels of the atmosphere. Temperature in the mid-70s, mostly cloudy overnight with some patchy drizzle, temperature in the upper 50s. AM drizzle tomorrow, chance showers, temperature in the upper 70s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back, and that is Stabbing Westward, Save Yourself, which I know, I get it. You get your industrial rock bands of the 90s confused. You get your Stabbing Westwards confused with your Gravity Kills, but that's Stabbing Westward. So it's funny because I think I've seen both of them live, but I can't remember. Like, I can't remember which one I saw opening for who, and like, I'm 99% sure I saw Gravity Kills open for Ozzy Osbourne. And I remember when they played Guilty, and the keyboard player had this keyboard that was on a spring that was like that that horse you would ride at the playground, the one that would like kind of go back and forth. Yeah. So anyway, speaking of concerts, we have one for you to enter to win right now at WBSM.com. And on the WBSM app, we are giving away tickets to see Vampire Weekend. Now, it's not a convention of vampires. It's an actual band called Vampire Weekend. It has, I believe, one of the Bayo relatives is in it. A cousin of Scott Bayo is in it. And a guy named Koenig, who's not related to Walter Koenig. So I know that Mary is a big fan of Walter Koenig and Star Trek, but no, it is not related to him. But anyway, Vampire Weekend is playing Friday, September 27th at TD Garden. And we have your chance to win tickets right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We are also giving away tickets to see Susie Eddie Izzard. I guess she prefers to go by Susie Izzard now, but she doesn't mind if people call her Eddie. And professionally, she still goes by Eddie. So it's the Eddie Izzard Remix Live Tour, the first 35 years. So my guess is that this is going to be, you know, some of the greatest hits of Eddie Izzard's career in terms of comedy performances, and one of the smartest, funniest comedians around there. And I know a lot of people have seen Eddie Izzard on TV dressed as a woman and say, well, this isn't for me. But if you like the comedy of Monty Python, like, that's kind of the sense of humor that Eddie Izzard has always had. And it's like a one-person Monty Python. Because the stand-up bits are almost like skits enacted on their own. So this is going to be a great show. We have tickets to give away to that as well on the WBSM app and on WBSM.com. And these tickets are all brought to us by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. Where you can also join the Rack House Club. Stop by at 115 Huddleston Avenue to find out more, or follow them on social media at Stevie's Wine and Spirits to find out about all their great tasting events, including the September 28th Big Fall Tasting. I know I've said that I was going to be there. I realized the other day that I will not be there because I'll be at Terracon in Marlboro that weekend. However, I will greatly miss being there and trying all the great stuff. I mean, I'm not ruling out but it's kind of a ride to come back. Well, anyway, if I don't catch you there, I'll catch you at the next one. So again, you can enter to win those at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And we've got more tickets to more things coming your way. So many more giveaways, including on Friday, when we'll give away our next pair of Fright Fest Friday tickets. to Six Flags New England and the Fright Fest extravaganza. So, all that said and done, the topics that we've been discussing this morning include the West Bridgewater students who are making threats on this, you know, calling businesses on the cell phone, on the bus, saying, we're involved in a school shooting, and playing gun sound effects and then threatening to shoot up the school. The most recent out of three incidents that have happened in the Bridgewater and Raynham area since the Appalachian shooting in Georgia on September 4th. We were also talking earlier this morning about the Office of the Inspector General's report regarding the Star Store and UMass Dartmouth's leaving of the Star Store. And this report, which you can read in its entirety at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, the Inspector General determined that the contract between UMass Dartmouth and DCAM and the developer was, quote, wasteful. $60 million wasteful. And that right from the beginning, the whole process of the developer even acquiring the property and being the person selected to do so was a, quote, sham procurement. It's a very scathing report where it doesn't hold back. And as Senator Montigny said in his response, you know, this kind of verifies what he's been saying about all of this. Mayor Mitchell also submitting a statement, which you can read in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, saying that the businesses, artists, and residents of downtown New Bedford deserved better. He said the Inspector General's report revealed that at a fundamental level, UMass Dartmouth never took seriously its responsibility to plan for the future of Star Store campus past the expiration of the original 20-year lease. They never planned to take that building over, which is why they didn't care that the building was not maintained, why they didn't care that the millions of dollars allocated by the legislature for those improvements didn't get done, because they never planned to stick around past that 20 years, because at some point someone came in and said, you know, whichever chancellor it was that came in and said, we don't need to be there. And that just kind of permeated through the rest of the plan, the rest of the lease. Mayor Mitchell will be in later with Chris. I'm sure they will be discussing this among other things. But right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts. 508-996-0500. And, you know, Jack and I would joke back when he was coming in doing the turning on the light segment before he retired from that. And we would kind of joke that, okay, we know people are getting kind of tired of hearing about Jack Spillane's crusade for the Star Store, but he was right. It wasn't just about pulling the arts campus out of downtown New Bedford. It was about exactly what the Office of the Inspector General has determined: wastefulness. All that money spent for what? The building isn't even attractive for a sale right now, apparently, according to this report. Or else UMass Dartmouth would have wanted to buy it for a dollar, right? The state would have wanted to buy it for a dollar. I'm sure the state would have liked to have bought it for a dollar, but UMass Dartmouth fumbled that. Now what's going to happen to that building? We don't know. Senator Montigny says it should have a bright future. Well, actually, what he said is it'll shine again. He said, the Star Store will shine once again. I remain committed to ensuring its next chapter, free from the disinterested failures and behind-the-scenes lobbying that unjustly enriched a private entity. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And And welcome back in. So anybody who was a winner of the Soundside Music Festival tickets to go and see the Foo Fighters at the end of the month, you have been notified. So check your inboxes. Look for an email from Casey. She'll let you know if you were the winner or not. Also, Participation Trophy Wife says, Stabbing Westward is not a one-hit wonder. They had two hits. I don't remember the second one. I'll be honest with you. And DSY reminds me, the mayor is not going to be in today, Tim. It's only Tuesday. You are right. It is only Tuesday. He'll be in tomorrow to talk about it with Chris. So this is why I have to look at the computer every day to know what day it is. I'm not kidding you. When I start the show at 6 a.m. and I say, good morning, happy Tuesday to you, it's because I'm looking over at the computer and seeing what day it is. Otherwise, I have no idea. They all just melt together. And what's funny is when I have things that I have to do and it comes as a surprise to me, like, oh, right, I'm supposed to do this today. Or when somebody's calling in on the VIP line and I say, oh, that's right, today is the day that I have that guest booked. So you'll have to forgive me. I wish I led the kind of life where every day had its own identity for me, but it doesn't. Especially when I didn't stop working last night till 10 minutes of 8. Finished at 7:50 p.m., went and cooked up some burgers for dinner. And I was like, I'm going to have something else with it. I was like, I'll make some beets and have some, open up a can of beets. I was like, nah, just too tired. I'll just eat the burgers. That's my life. Tried to stay up and watch Monday Night Raw, but then around 9:30 said, I'm just going to go to bed. Woke up having, well, I guess I remember what day it is based on what TV shows are on too. So there's that. 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? You were talking about punishment and all that stuff.
Yes.
And corporal punishment. Well, my parents brought us up very religious, you know. Mm-hmm. We had to say our prayers and all that kind of stuff. They brought us up with love and kindness. They never used force or anything. The worst thing for me was to be punished and not be able to go out and play baseball or football or basketball with my friends, because we had everything in my yard. You know, we had a great big piece of land. And the other thing, my wife said that in the 70s, Kennedy's administration stopped the uniforms. And she said it turned crazy. The teachers used to wear a sport coat and tie or a suit, and that disappeared. And the girls come in with, you wouldn't believe, the outfits. So you could blame that on the liberals as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, you're talking about the teacher's dress code? Oh, hold on. I think I messed that up. Give me 1 second. Hold on. There, I think I lost you. So you're talking about the teacher's dress code?
And the students.
Okay, because I was going to say, I seem to remember in the 90s, you know, all my teachers were dressed pretty professionally.
Yeah. Well, according to my wife, she said it turned horrible. It was terrible. The way the girls used to come to work or come to school, dressed not very well. The other thing I want to talk about, as far as years going by and days going by and minutes and everything else, I'm 87. I have no idea when the hell it went. It just totally disappeared. Yes. I say to myself, I'll never get this old. You know, it's too many years away. And all of a sudden, I'm 87.
That's how I feel. Yeah. And I'm only about halfway there, but I feel the exact same way. It just flew by.
It's crazy. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
And let me see if I can squeeze in one more here before I got to take my final break. You're next on WBSM.
I'm glad you squeezed me in, Tim. Gilly Sackfield.
Hey, Gilly.
You know, you're talking about the Star Store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, everybody's going to be trying to hide under rocks all these years, okay? everybody knows what happened, and everybody knows what's going on. Everybody's going to try now to dodge everything. Don't have to ask questions where the money went. You all know where the money went, and you know who knew about everything. That's the way the city operates. Now the cover-up is going to be worse than the crime.
Well, so, what do you feel? Well, I mean, we only got a minute here, but what do you feel is what's really going on?
Everybody knew what was going on about the, you know, about the place. I don't have to tell anybody out there.
Oh, okay.
It's the city itself here. It's who you know, okay? And that's it. They take care of their own, from the mayor all the way down to the janitors.
Well, this mayor wasn't involved in that setup.
Oh, I know that. I didn't mention Mitchell, did I?
So it's just whoever the mayor is what you're saying.
At the time when all this went down, you know, and it just seems kind of funny. Everybody's asking, that guy made a lot of money, though, didn't he?
Certainly did.
And he just come out. Finally, somebody, you know, this city, they don't follow their own rules.
All right. I got to hold you there because I got to take this break. You have a good day.
You too.
All right, we are also going to take this break, and we'll be back to wrap things up in just a few. Lost out, we're so creative, so much. And welcome back, and that's K's Choice, not an addict. So some of these forgotten 90s songs for sure today. We are just about out of time. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. I'm sure he'll be talking more about this star.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.